up on a period of time now to where God is about to break out and break forward. Mm-hmm. Write this down on your notes here tonight. There is a pattern for revival in the Scripture. Pattern for revival. It's not changed. It's been the same ever since it first was initiated by God. And that pattern for revival is for God's people to return to Him, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, to repent from where they have fell away to. Number three, to remove things that has been holding back revival. And then to receive. It's in that order. It can't happen any other way. That's the only way revival can come. I'll say it again so you can write it down. There is a pattern in the Scripture that God has instituted for reviving His people. And that is that you must, number one, return to God with all of your heart. Number two, you must repent. You see, you can't repent until you return. And we've been preaching sometimes repentance without returning. But you got to return, then you've got to repent, then you've got to remove what is in the way of the revival, then you can receive the revival. Return, repent, remove, and receive. All through the Scripture, that pattern plays out in so many different areas. I have selected 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23. The revival that went and took place under King Josiah. Simply because I feel in my spirit that there is an anointing of King Josiah that is coming back to the house of God. It's an anointing that's going to help get the church back where the church needs to be. We all agree here tonight that the church has fallen away tremendously from where it used to be even 10 years ago. But if you go back 30 years ago, boy, it is really off the even keel. It's a long way from what it used to be. It is so easy for people to miss church now. It is so easy for people not to pray. It is so easy for people not to pay their tithe anymore. It is so easy for people to want to hold on to God with one hand and the world with the other hand. It is so easy for people to call themselves a Christian and attend church 3 or 4 times a year. I want you to sit here tonight and just think about all the people in our church that says they're Christians. I asked everybody here last Wednesday night, was there anyone here that needed to get things right with God? Was there anybody that needed to come and get their heart back right with God and nobody's hands rose up? Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks they're in good standing with the Lord. Look around tonight. If you were in a good hand, good standing with the Lord, you'd be here. Just plain simple as it can possibly be. You would try to be here if there was any way possible that you could be here. You would be here. If you meant to pick up the phone and call somebody to get them to go get you, you would be here. This lackadaisical attitude that we have before God, we think now as long as we pay part of our dues and do what we need to do, we've done and accomplished what we need to do. But revival comes about with a pattern that God has. First off, the people have got to return to God. Secondly, they got to repent of what caused us not to have revival. Thirdly, we have to remove some things. And number four, that's when we're able to receive. And in 2 Kings chapter number 22, I have just a little bit of battery on my Bible up here tonight, so I may have some people read some. But in 2 Kings chapter number 22, it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, and the daughter of Abiah of Bashkoth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in all the way of David his father, and he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, this guy was 27 years old now, listen to this, 27, that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it unto the hands of the doer of the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house. You need to underline that, the repair the breaches of the house. There's a lot of things in church right now that needs to be repaired. This church needs a lot of repair. The next coming week, if God allows me, I'm going to be meeting with our deaconesses, leaders of our church. We're going to identify some things that need to be repaired. If we don't soon start repairing them, then we're going to miss the opportunity from God. It goes on and it said, unto the carpenters and the builders and the masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. God wants his house in working order. God wants his house to be able to accomplish and fulfill the needs of the people that are associated with the house. If there's sickness in the house, God wants someone gifted in the house that can lay their hands upon the sick and the afflicted and they can be healed. God wants his house filled with the power of God, so if someone walks in off the street that don't know God, they'll find God. God wants the house to be repaired. We need the house itself, the building itself, to have some beauty about it. This is a beautiful building. When you really take a look at it, it's a beautiful building. Beautiful. I'm telling you, God blessed us with 15,000 square feet. Our church, when you put it together, is bigger than New Lights over there. Our church is huge. And it's supposed to be used for God. Everything about it is supposed to be used for God. And this church is not taken care of. I hate to say it, but it's not taken care of. We really need to start turning our focus back to the church. The first thing that we need to do is we got to restore the house of God back where God wants it to be. Amen? And the ministries in the church has got to be restored what they want to be. Verse 7 says, howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into the hand because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. I want you to notice, I've already read to you, the first thing we got to do is we got to return back to the house of God and begin to repair the house of God. Now, we've used this building as an example, but in your life, you must turn your life back to making your body the temple of God that it is supposed to be. The Holy Spirit lives in you. If there's anything that needs to be repaired in your life, be it your temper, be it whatever it is, any type of habit, any type of issue that you need to give to the Lord, you need to give it to the Lord, and let's get back on even keel with God. Amen? Now in verse number 8, we start picking up something else that is wonderful and something that we need to see that is a element of revival. Verse number 8, it says, and Hilkiah the priest, high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave it to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and delivered it into the hand of them to do the work that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. First off, there was a new discovery of the word of Almighty God. I believe in our church right now, we need to pray that the people in our church would get a new discovery of how powerful the word of God actually truly is. The word of God is a life-giving element. It is a hammer that can destroy about anything that is standing in its way. It is a light to your path. The word of God is sent to you for healing to your body. The word of God is eternal life. We need to have a new discovery, a new revelation of how powerful the word of God is. Because what's happening in our church is I am leading a group of people in the church to praise a God that nobody ever prays to. Or I'm ministering to someone and God wants to be able to minister deeper spiritual truths than I'm able to minister because I'm still having to talk to, like I said this morning, a bunch of children in this faith. And now God is wanting to get us mature enough to where we can accept some of the deeper doctrines of the scripture of God. Because I want to tell you, there's a whole lot more in the Bible than just Jesus went and died on the cross for you. There's a whole lot more in the Bible than the Holy Ghost can be for you. There's a whole lot more in the Bible that you have power over scorpions and serpents. There's a whole lot more in the Bible that there's so many truths in the Bible that we are prevented to minister to because people don't hear it. They can't understand it because they don't have a discovery of the Word of God. And another thing, we got people that preach the Word of God. How many would agree that you know of pastors and you know of preachers that preach the Word of God? They really preach the Word of God. Amen. But we don't see it in the lives of the people that hear it. There is no conviction power anymore, it seems, in people's lives. They hear the Word of God and they'll agree in notion, holler and scream and say amen. But when it's time to the point of stepping out of the house and going and applying it to their life, we're finding that we're not getting that done. I've been preaching to people that are in a rut, people that are in a situation, people that need deliverance, things that needs to be turned around in their life for years. And it seems like that every week, every month, every year, they're in the same boat that they're in when I began to minister to them. And you tell them, this is how you can be free. This is what you need to do to be free. And they agree with you and they say, yeah, you're right. But to apply it, they never do it. There is no conviction in the hearts of people simply because their heart has not been turned back to the temple in their own life, and they're not receiving the Word of God. They're not studying the Word of God. They're not hungry for the Word of God. In fact, I would say most Christians today never even pick their Bible up after they leave Sunday. In fact, many of you leave it on the pew here in the church, and I know you don't read it because that's probably the only Bible you got. It's time that we started getting involved with God because God's involved with us. Amen? So we see there, first off, there was a discovery of the Word of God, and the people began to obey the Word of God. Then we find in verse number 11, when they heard the Word, they began to repent, and they began to obey the Word of God. So when you get your heart back to God, you get your temple right within, you get the Holy Spirit at home in your life, and you begin to discover the Word of God in your life, the Word of God will convict you of where you are, and you can be your own preacher to yourself, so to speak. And as you preach to yourself to the Word of God will convict you and straighten you out. You don't need a preacher to preach to you. The Word of God can straighten you out. Can the church say amen? So we need to have a discovery of the Word of God. And it goes on. We're going to read a little bit further. I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit. It said, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahiakim the son of Shaphan and Abdor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Azariah a servant of the king's servant, and said, go ye and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judea concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Do you realize when we do not obey God and keep the covenant that we have with God, God gets angry and you will reap what you sow. And now the king here, upon this new discovery of the Word of God, he's beginning to say, oh, wait a minute. If God does what God said he's going to do, boy, I'm leading a congregation of people that really need something to happen in their life. And the only way that I can see to get over this is I can't change people, so hopefully I can change God's mind. We need some intercessors in this house that hopefully will start changing God's mind. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, I wish that people would get revived and people would hear the Word of God and they get woken up. But I am afraid, and I pray every day unto the Lord, and I feel it in my spirit, that there are some that's going to have to go through some miserable things on the face of this earth for them to awaken to the fact that they are God's and they have a covenant with God. And if they're out of covenant with God, God is not going to give up on you that easily. Amen. Now, as we go on to verse chapter 23, you can read the rest of that, but we want to go and look in verse number 1 through 3 there. It said, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah in Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant. Everybody holler out and say covenant.
Covenant.
Say it again. Say it one more time.
Covenant.
People in the church today don't understand what a covenant is. A covenant is when you two people come together And in the Bible, the way the covenant was cut is you separated two animals or animal in two parts, and you walked through that animal. And when the other person walked through that animal with you, you agreed that if you violated the covenant, whatever happened to those animals, you had every right to do it to them. So if you get out of covenant, the person you were in covenant with had every right to kill you. They had every right. Because you broke the covenant. And when you're in a covenant with God, God, when he made the covenant with Abraham, it is a one-sided covenant. With that there on that, God is unilaterally taking care of that. But God said, if you break the covenant, then my anger will be against you. And God's got every right to bring all these curses in Deuteronomy chapter number 28 among you. And if you love your people, you love yourself, then you would want to live free of all those curses. Amen? So you would keep the covenant. Smile at your neighbor here tonight and say, you got to keep the covenant. Amen? So he began to read all the words of that covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. I want to share with you something. You might want to write this down. The revival that's going to come here in the 11th hour visitation is only coming to the people that are in a covenant with God. Amen. In good standing in that covenant. We need a revelation in the church of exactly how powerful a covenant is. When you decided that you were going to be a part of Living Water Worship Center, when you decided you were going to be a part of Northside Baptist Church, you decided you were going to be a part of White Oak Church, you decided you were going to be a part of New Light Church, you cut a covenant with the people that went to that church. You began to be in covenant with those people. You're in covenant with God. And if those people that you are in covenant with does not keep the covenant, you have every right to challenge that person and bring them back to the covenant. Because if only takes one person that you're in covenant with to bring the curses of the covenant on you. So if we want everyone to be blessed, then we've got to help and encourage each and every person that we possibly can to keep the covenant. Are y'all following what I'm trying to say? God is wanting his church to get back to the covenant. He's wanting us to do it. And revival is a sovereign move of God. God begins to move, but there are some things that we've got to do. First off, we have got to return to God. We got to return to the system that God has in play. No longer can you convince yourself that you can live a life just as good at home watching television as you can in the house of God, joined together in blood, brotherly love, and joining together in a covenant, because God is a covenant God, and God moves in a covenant. Are y'all following what I'm saying? You get a blessing from God because God and Jesus has a covenant. And you will walk in the blessing if you and God has a covenant. Are y'all following me? If you're not in covenant with God, God is not obligated to bless you. If you're not in a covenant with God, God is not obligated to go out and take care of you and protect you. If you are not in covenant with God, God is not in any way, shape, or form required to make sure that your life is a life of peace. But if you're in covenant with God, then God has a requirement to look after you and to keep himself in covenant. And if he said, if you'll be my people and I be your God, I will bless you and give you a blessing that will literally come in and overflow and you won't be able to handle it. God is required and demanded by that covenant to fulfill that covenant. How many of you need God to fulfill the covenant in your life? Well, if you need him to fulfill the covenant in your life, then he needs you to fulfill the covenant in your life. Amen? Amen. So God is doing some things. I want to share with you some stuff. I believe today that when you go into a revival phase, that everything that has been spiritually dead will come back to life. The church has been walking around in a bunch of deadness right lately. Amen? Amen. But I believe that God is about to revive the entire church. Josiah and his anointing is coming. And then as the word of God is preached, It's going to be like Ezekiel preaching to all those dead bones that's out there in chapter number 37. As he began to preach, the word of God is going to begin to grab these skeletons and these dry bones and start shaking them and putting them back together. I believe that if the church will return back to the covenant, everything that has died in the church, God will put it back together and raise up an army in this last day. But we have got to return to God. We have got to repent from where we have fallen. And we have got to go forth and remove the things in our life that is keeping God from doing what he needs to do in our life. And then we can receive revival. Amen. I got 1% on this, so let's read a little bit further right quick in verse number 4. It said, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest and the priest of the second order and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. In other words, get rid of everything that has been devoted to another god. And from the grove and all the host of heaven, and he burned them without in Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and he carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, and to the planets, and all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of God without Jerusalem unto the brook Kedron, burned it at the brook Kedron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and he defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba. And he brake down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city. I want you to understand and see something. The last thing that we have to do after we turn back to God, return, after we repent, we got to start removing all these gods that we have before God. I want to share with you, there's a lot of Christians, me included, that at times in our life, we've got other things and other gods before God. Talk to a lot of men. And when you talk to a lot of men in football season is before God. Amen. They're going to want to come to church at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning so they can be sitting in front of the television at the house so they can watch the pregame show so they can watch football afternoon. And don't you ask them to come to church Sunday night because they're going to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers play the Carolina Panthers. That's a god. And God is looking for a people that will throw some of that things aside. Let me share with you another god. When a job takes your time away from God, it begins to be a god before God. Amen. When your family takes the time of God away from you, that becomes a god. And any time there is something between you and God in covenant, God has every right to remove it. Right. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this, but it's the truth. You take your mate and you put your mate before God and you're in covenant with God. God has every right to remove that god out of your life. And I'm going to tell you, as a minister for 30-some years, I have seen that happen. Because people began to do what the other one wants over and above what God wants. And if you don't hear God, God has every right to remove them. It's the same way with your family because you are in covenant. Everybody holler and say, I'm in covenant. I wish I could get that revelation in everybody's mind. You are in covenant with God. It's not that you come to church to pay your covenant price. It's not that you're here just to grace somebody with presence. You are obligated by God to be on his system and to perform in his system and do what his system wants you to do. So I want you to share with you that revival comes when we return to God and when we begin to repent. And we humble ourselves and we get off our high horse. We start interceding and praying. We find out what it is that is preventing us from having the revival. We identify them and we go get them and we carry them out of the house. And we carry them, the word Kidron at the brook of Kidron means the trash heap of life. You carry them to the trash can, and you go out there, and the Bible says that Josiah beat them down in the powder. Why was it that he beat these things down in the powder? Because it's kind of hard, Janice, to take some powder and put it back together and make a god out of it. In other words, God wants to totally annihilate everything that is standing in between his church and him. God said, my glory I will not share with another. And I want to share with you, in the 11th hour visitation, it's going to be a wonderful visitation from the Lord. But judgment must first begin at the house of God. For if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the unjust and the ungodly appear? When the first thing that happens when God begins to visit his house is he starts judging his house. So if God showed up in living water right now, this night, this minute, I wonder how many he would pass judgment on. He'd walk in here tonight. We had this morning, what, about 30 people. We had 30-some last Sunday. We walk in here on Sunday night. We have 5. We have 10. We come here on Wednesday night. We have 5 or 4. I'm like Tina said right before church. She said, I'm about to the point to where I'm just going to start having a home Bible study. And if people want to come to church, they can come to my house. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's time for the church to awaken to the fact that God is going to require this at your hand. God is calling his church people to return to him, to repent of what they have failed to, and to literally remove what is standing between him and God. And then God said, once you do that, I will pour out my healing and my revival in your family and in your life and in your church. But until we get to that level, we're not going to see the house of God. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night was a week ago, or this will be a week ago, I preached and said we got to have purity and holiness back in the house of God. We got to start preaching it. We got to start standing up for it. We got to stand up for sanctimony of marriage. We got to stand up for the sanctimony of a relationship of people that are single. We got to start standing up in pure, holy living, because without holiness, no man is ever going to see God. What that means is not only are you going to go to heaven to see him and you need holiness to get there, you got to have holiness here on earth to see God truly move the way he wants to move in your life. We need holiness. Everybody say we need holiness. So, I'm like many of y'all, I love to be in the mountains. I love to see the mist that I've been talking about. But I want to share with you, I'm not the greatest swimmer in the world, but how many of you here tonight just love the water? How many love the water? I used to go out to Lake Tabor and just sit there on the pier in the middle of the night and listen to the water run by me. It seemed to calm me down. I'll tell you, in my house one time, I went and I bought me one of these little waterfall things, you know, that runs water over on the coffee table. And when things was just going bad and I was getting kind of anxious on the inside, I'd turn that thing on and I'd let the water run. I'd turn the TV down and I'd lay down on the couch and I'd just listen to that water run in that little waterfall and it would just calm me right down. We need the river of God in this house. Amen. We need that. And what God is about to do right now is God is beginning to ask us, why is it that we are a slave? Why is it that we are a homeborn slave? Why is it that we've been robbed? Why is it that we are not what God intended the church to be? And in doing that there, God is ready to bring about a new movement, and God is going to do it in a couple of anointings. Number one, write it down. Get ready for the Josiah anointing to come back to the house of God. That Josiah anointing is going to clean the house of God up. And very akin to that same anointing is the anointing of John the Baptist too. And that is the anointing of Elijah. The anointing of Elijah is coming back to the house of God. The anointing of Elijah is an anointing that challenges the devil. You need to hear what I'm saying. It's not an anointing where you just pray against the devil. It's an anointing where you put your God to a test and you challenge the devil. And it is time for the church to challenge the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Let the church say amen. And God is going to anoint his people with the anointing of Elijah so that they can challenge the devil in his territory and take the territory back for God, just like Elijah did when he challenged the enemy and he told him, all right, let's prove who's God. There's coming a time in the 11th hour visitation from God that God is going to prove to the world that he is still God. Let the church say amen. And I want to talk to you about John the Baptist just a minute. How many remember the story of John the Baptist? John the Baptist was immaculately conceived, an old woman, barren, Elizabeth. Her husband, Zechariah, was a priest. She showed up pregnant. Zechariah, when he heard the word of God speak to him, told him that his name would be John. And as he had a conversation with him at that point, God struck him mute. because he didn't want to accept what God was doing. And John the Baptist, when he was born and he showed up on the scene, everybody came to his birth. Everybody showed up at his birth. Everybody around came at his birth. So what God is about to do is going to be a popular thing. You see, Zechariah was an old man. Elizabeth was an old woman. She wasn't supposed to have children. It created curiosity where the world come to see what type of baby was going to be born to this real old woman. And all of a sudden, everybody showed up at his birth. He'd been given to aging parents and a woman that had been barren all of her life. When God says, I'm going to do a brand new thing, he'll take something that's dead and make it alive. Amen? And God is going to take some dead churches that's out there in the world and he's going to make it alive. And he looked like his mama and his daddy. He looked a lot like his daddy. In fact, some of the Jews will tell you he was almost the spitting image of Zechariah. But the minute that John the Baptist was born, an identity crisis ensued. And here's what's fixing to happen in the church. Everybody began to say, what's his name? What's his name? What's his name? And Elizabeth said, his name's John. His name's John. Why was it that God said and told Zechariah and told Elizabeth that this baby's name was going to be John? It's all because God was telling you that the meaning of the word John means Yahweh will be gracious. There is coming a movement in the house of God where God is going to be gracious once again to the house of God and gracious to the world one more time. So get ready for God to pour out his love and his mercy on everybody. Someone say amen. I hope I'm talking to somebody tonight, amen. John, when he was born, though, represented the first move of God in 400 years. Mm-hmm. Now, back in the 70s, early 80s, maybe the early 90s, there was a movement of God going on in the house of God. There was a mighty move of God almost everywhere I went. It was during that period of time that I left the Baptist church and came into the Pentecostal church because there was a power in the Pentecostal church that was not in the Baptist church, and it attracted me. God was doing something in that period, in that time. It was the first time that God had done something in many, 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 many years. And I'm here to tell you, what God is about to do right now is a brand new move from him, and it is the first time that we're going to see God move on the church, and we've not seen it in a whole many amount of years, and now God is about to do a brand new move in the house of God. Let the church say amen. Amen. God is about to be gracious one more time. So what God is fixing to do is going to represent to us another move of God that we are going to have here on this earth, and God is going to do it after a year of seemingly a spiritual drought. His birth, John's birth, literally scheduled or showed in our life and signified that there was a brand new thing about to happen here on this earth. God was doing something new. I want you to look at your neighbor tonight and say, God is about to do something new. Say it one more time. Say, God is about to do something new.
Jacob, he's breaking out all over. He's throwing three times in this since we come to church, you see.
Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, touch this baby from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. We curse every skin rash in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, right now, in the power of God, we claim right now pure healing as it begins to clean up in the hour right now in the name of Jesus. Father, now he's going to be able to breathe right. He's going to be fine in the name of Jesus, already going through in the name of Jesus Christ. We proclaim this to be as it is in the name of Jesus. He will move out of here and he will not have a rash any longer in the name of Jesus. Let the church out and say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now you give God some praise. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, John the Baptist represented a brand new move on the face of the earth. A brand new move. And what is about to happen on the earth is a brand new move. God is doing a brand new move here on this earth. So, In Luke chapter 1, verse 61, the Bible says, there is no one among your relatives who's called by this name. So you see, the minute God starts to do something brand new, everybody's going to want to name it something different. God is doing something new in the house of the Lord. This man was the forerunner of the Messiah. And what God is about to do is a forerunner of God coming back to gather his church and carry him out here. He didn't resemble the culture that he was in. And we're not going to resemble the culture that we're in. He wouldn't embrace the things that's out there in the traditions of the world. He wouldn't preach in the church. He went out into the wilderness and he preached in the wilderness. God was doing something brand new. Are y'all with me tonight? Amen. They wanted to take an old name and put it on a brand new baby. And you can't take an old move and name a brand new move of the Lord. It is time for the church to start taking out the trash. Amen. It is time for the church to get a brand new wine skin. It is time for us to get ready for the new wine that God is about to release. And I'm here to tell you, God is ready to release it right now. And we got to get out of what happened before and keep God boxed up in a box, because God is wanting to take a very brand new thing and apply it in the church. And you can't put an old name or an old wine skin on something brand new, because it will blow it all apart. Amen. So God is doing something in a mighty way. So, as I minister tonight, write this down. There is a pattern to revival. And one of the things God is leading Living Water Worship Center into this year is we've got to return to God. Got to return to God. I want to share it with you. And one of the things that we're going to talk about on our conference call when we have it is church services. We're going to come together on church services. We're going to get it together. We're going to pray over it and figure out what God wants to do. Here's why. Because this church is in covenant with God. Twice now this church has voted and told God that they would support the Sunday night service and the Wednesday night service. Look around. Is it being supported? Is it? Yes? No? Hello? Is it being supported? So we're going to determine whether or not we're going to keep right on giving people the noose to go out and hang themselves and kill themselves, or we're just going to cut off the service altogether. One way or the other, we either need to get everybody back in covenant with the Lord, and don't look like that's going to happen, or we're going to come and give the people what they want. And if we come together and we decide that we're going to keep on offering it, then God is going to put his stamp of approval on it, and God is going to fill this church back up. But we got to have the heart of the church back where it needs to be. Amen. God's ready to do a brand new thing. And he's fixing to bring the anointing of Josiah in it to do it. And he's going to bring the anointing of John in to do it, because the power of God is on the way. I don't know about you, but we got to start embracing who we really are. We got to quit running out there and not identifying as the blood boat saints of the living God, the church of God. We cannot be an appeaser. We've got to stand up for holiness and sanctification. We got to be bold enough to know that if we stand up for God, God will take care of us. Amen? Amen. We got to quit giving in to everybody and quit giving in to all of their actions and just patting everybody on the back and say, you'll get it right one day. It comes a point in time where a bottom line has to be drawn and someone must make up their decision and their life that they're going to serve God or they're going to serve Baal. And Elijah stood before him and said, if God is God, serve him. And if Baal is God, serve him. Draw the line in the sand. Let's make the decision, because without this decision, we can't go no further. So Living Water has got to make up their mind, is God God? Ask your neighbor here tonight, say, is God God? Now, I'm not getting on everybody here today. Most of y'all that's here tonight, you support this church. You're behind this church. You're behind it 100%. I want to thank you for all of that there. But those of you that listen to me online that's a part of this church, and I ain't seen you in months, boy, you need somebody to light the fire up under you. You need God to come into your life and bring you back to your covenant that you have with the Lord. And rest assured, it's not going to be Kip Nance that causes it in your life. It's going to be your actions and what you do and how you respond to the word of God, or what God will do to get you back where you're supposed to be. It's not going to be Kip that's going to speak anything on you. You're in covenant with God, and God is wanting you to get back with him. He's coming after you, and you got to be right when he comes, so he's going to do what's necessary to send judgment upon the house of God to get your heart back into covenant with the Lord. Amen. So the Bible says, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to return. Mm-hmm. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Sister Thelma, if you will, find that and read it out as we close tonight.
Okay.
I want everyone to understand what has got to happen in our church. Our church, I want to tell you, I shared with you this morning, when people refuse to grow up, it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. It limits progress. It keeps us from being what God wants us to do. We got tasks all out there that can't be accomplished because people won't grow up. Mm-hmm. And when we got people in here that when God gives me a series to preach, I have to stretch it out over 6 months to be able to preach it to everybody because half of you don't come, it's frustrating. I have to sit here and repeat the same thing over and over again to those that's here every service because God is waiting on you to come here so that he can speak to you what he's got to say. And some of you, you're not here every month. Some of you are not here every week. Some of you are here not every quarter. God is about to shake Living Water Worship Center up. You better write it down, put today's date on it. Today is January the 7th of 2024. And Kip Nance and the power of God is standing before you and say, if you think you have been shook up until this point, look to what God is about to do because he is going to shake you up now because you would not hear him.
Amen.
Now God is going to make you hear him. Read that for me. This is Chronicles 7:14.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Notice what he said. He said, if my people. So we got a lot of God's people that are literally hard-headed. Amen. We got a lot of God's people that is full of pride. We got a lot of God's people that are not humble. We got a God. The word humble means that you are 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, always aware of your own defect, so much aware of your own defect that you can stay out of everybody else's business and you make sure your defect is right. And the Bible says, if my people will humble themselves. That's step number one. You got to humble yourself. You got to get off of your high horse. You got to put your problem number one. You got to start realizing that you got some defects and you need to return to the house of God in you and get your life straightened out and get that great big old telephone pole out of your eye and quit worrying about a little moot in somebody else's eye. God said, my people have got to humble themselves. And then what did he say? He said, if my people will humble themselves and do what? Holler it out, Thelma.
If my people will humble themselves and pray.
Pray. Somebody holler out and say, pray.
Pray.
It's hard to lead a church in praise to a God that nobody prays to. We got to start praying. And I want to share with you, although things might be a little tough on some, things has not been bad enough to make people pray. I know what it's like in life to have to pray. I knew what it was like to have to pray. I prayed every day, God, touch my hands. God, touch my fingers. God, touch my foot. God, touch my leg. God, touch my head. I wake up every day and I'm saying, God, you got to touch my body, even today. I know what it's like to have to pray. And God is going to make it to where you're going to have to pray. If my people will humble themselves and pray and then do what? Read it again. Do it, say it again.
If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face.
And seek his face. Mm-hmm. You see, everybody wants a blessing from God, don't we? Amen. Amen. We want God to give us a brand new car. We want God to give us $1 million. We want God to pay our bills. Oh, God. You see, when we're going to God to pray now, when we do pray, it's, oh, Lord, I need you to step in here and heal my son. I need you to come in here and deliver my child. Lord, I need you to come in here and make sure I got a way in back and forth to work. Lord, I need you to put some money in the mailbox. Lord, I need you to do this. Lord, I need you to do that. We want all the blessings of God. But God said, when my people will humble themselves and start praying and seek my presence, seek my face.
Amen.
Then he will do what? He said, and what's the next thing you got to do after that?
And turn from their wicked ways.
Turn from the wicked ways. In other words, there's a bunch of Christians with a bunch of wicked ways. Amen. Mm-hmm. Ask your neighbor right beside him and say, how many wicked ways you got?
How many wicked ways?
Oh, you don't like to ask them that, do you? God said, it's my people that's got wicked ways.
Right.
I tell you what, I love everybody, but I sure don't like some of them's ways. Amen.
Amen.
I know you love me and you don't like my ways. Sometimes our ways are wicked.
Yes, they sure are.
The Bible says when you follow your heart is deceitfully wicked.
Right.
And see, when you stand in there with that there immature attitude and you're a child, you'll throw a fit to get what you want simply because your heart is wicked. And God said that first off, you have got to go to Him and humble yourself. You got to start praying, and then you got to turn from your wicked ways. In other words, you got to turn around from the way you've been going. Amen?
Right, right.
Everybody holler out and say, we got to turn around.
What
did it say next? You got to humble yourself, pray, and you got to seek His face, and then do what?
Turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin.
He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. So God says, you got these responsibilities. You got to get rid of these wicked ways. You got to start praying.
Right.
You got to humble yourself. You got to get out of everybody else's business.
Right.
You got to start straightening up your own life. You got to return your heart back to God and seek His face.
Right.
Seek His presence. It should be when we come in this house that everybody has sought the presence of God so that it multiplies the presence of God when we come together. And there is so much God in this house that nobody can sit in this house and get sick. Nobody can sit in this house and leave here depressed. Nobody can sit in this house and be broke down and beat down and busted and disgusted. God said, if we'll do this, that's when He'll take His face and turn His face to us and open up His ears to hear what we got to say. Amen.
Amen.
Then what did He say He'd do?
Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land.
God is ready to forgive living water tonight. For all of our lackadaisicalness. For every bit of our wicked ways. For all the time out there that we didn't pray. For all the time we sought His blessing over Him.
Right.
God is ready to forgive us right now. And He said, when you do these things, He said, that's when I'll heal your land. I'll make your land whole. So, God is sending the power of Josiah. God is sending the power of John the Baptist back to the earth. The spirit and the power of Elijah to confront the enemy and clean the house of God up from the enemy. Because let me share with you, the devil's just about took it over everywhere. But thanks be to God, as a leader of this church, I stand before God right now and stand before you, and I tell God, God, you got open arms and you got open rein to come in this house and to straighten out everything that ain't right. Amen?
That's right.
You got open hands to do that right now in the name of Jesus. Get the people back with their heart in covenant with you, and let's seek the presence and power of Almighty God so that we can see God move. We're singing the song, we need a move, we need a move, we need a move. Yeah, we still believe that God is the same God today that He was yesterday and forever. He can still raise dead bodies. He can still deliver people hooked on crack cocaine. God can still do all of that there, but we need a move. And the way we need to get that move is we have got to return back to God. We got to humble ourselves down and get off our high horse, and we got to start praying for the Lord, and we got to start living holy.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's why I say I'm going to pat Thelma on the back for what she stood up and she said. If it causes the family to leave the church and they want to go out and run out somewhere else and live and keep from living that way, if that church is going to ordain them to go to hell, let that church do it. But Living Water Worship Center will not be a part of that. Amen? We're wanting a revival in the house. So smile at your neighbor here tonight and say, get ready for Josiah and get ready for John. He's on the way. Stand with me, Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, we have delivered this exactly the way you've asked us to deliver it this weekend. Father, we have told our church that we need to grow up. We've told our church that we are out of covenant with you. We've told our church that we need to get back in covenant with you. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would minister to the hearts of your people in love. Father, that you allow them to learn in their life that they must start their day and end their day with you. Father, now in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll pour out the spirit of supplication on their life, Lord God. Father, that you'll convict them, Lord God, as you'll convict this church and bring us in line with you. Father, I ask you, Lord God, that holy living will begin to be the very standard that we live here in Living Water. Father, when you look over the churches around in this area, Father, I pray that Living Water will be the one that you'll see that's living the holiest and the most pure that it can possibly be, and that you'll find yourself more at home in these four walls and in our vessels than any other church around. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll start healing our land, healing our family, healing our finances, healing our politics. Father, now in the name of Jesus, we'll do that as we enter before you, Lord God, with the heart and the anointing and the power of Josiah on our life and the anointing of Elijah on our life. Come, Lord God, and turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and turn the children's hearts back to the Father. Father, turn our hearts back to the church. Father, turn our hearts back to you. Father, turn our hearts back to you and not your blessings. Help us, Lord, to seek you out on a daily basis. Lord God, help us, Lord, to renounce our wicked ways so that when holiness needs to be as a standard in heaven for the next move of God, that Living Water will be right on the top of the list to have you move. And I'll give you the praise and the glory as you lead, guide, and direct us and bring us back in loving and unity come Wednesday evening as we join you once again in praise and in worship and give you full praise in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen.